In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Today's story is probably one of the most familiar passages in the Bible, and it's probably one of the most uncomfortable. It starts with a young man, a man who did all the right things. He got a scholarship to an Ivy League school. He finished the top of his class, attended the best graduate school, and now is doing well for himself in a great corporation job with a great benefit. He did some careful financial planning and now has a great home, a stock portfolio that isn't doing too bad, and a retirement to look forward to. This young man is careful and polite. He's always kind and helps out when his elderly parents need him. And he goes to the temple often. He is well respected and loved in this community. But still, he hungers for more. Something was calling him to go deeper into relationship with God. So he sought Jesus. When he came to Jesus, he knelt in all humility and asked him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" There was a deep, long pause as Jesus looked him into the eyes. And I can imagine he felt Jesus' love all the way down to his toes. Jesus very clearly and tenderly said, "You lack one thing. Go sell what you own, give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." The young man was shocked. The disciples were shocked. I'm shocked. Everything? Everything. And so the young man left, grieving over what he would have to give up. And Jesus continued, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were dismayed and perplexed. They are raised to believe in their ancient world that prosperity is a reward. If one has good character and self-discipline, surely one would be rewarded by God. Okay, so maybe this isn't just an ancient world belief. Prosperity gospels teach the material wealth is a gift from God to God's beloved. If you don't have it, surely you're being punished, or maybe you're being tested. You know, and I think that deep down we all want to believe in that simple formula of following the rules well and getting good fortune in return, including material wealth. But Jesus jerks us right out of that understanding, that misunderstanding. Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. I'm sure we can all identify with this young man. He seemed to do everything right. He was devout in following the commandments. He was careful and respectful. But he lacked one thing. Now, Jesus said he lacked one thing. Not that he had too much of something else, but he lacked something. So, is it possible that there's much more to this story than this man's wealth? Did the young man lack the ability to enter the kingdom of God like a child? Maybe it's because he asked Jesus what he needed to do, as if eternal life comes at the end of a long checklist list. He can do it. Everything's under control. He followed the commandments. Check. He was blessed in many ways. Good job, great car, good credit score. Check, check, check. He's a go-getter, very self-reliant. Sound like anyone you know? Of course, this is what we're taught to be, the American independence, ingenious ingenuity. And sometimes we get really caught up into it. And in our lives, even our Christian lives, end up more like a checklist rather than something that directs our lives. Go to church. Check. Send the kids off to Sunday school. Check. Well-rounded Christian education. Check. Donate clothing. Charity. Check. When we stop worrying about what we need to do, about our own salvation, and truly turn our attention to God and our neighbor, then and only then will we be saved. Or maybe it's because this young man lacked true security and trusted the wrong things. With wealth, we can paint a beautiful picture around ourselves. By living in a beautiful home and buying beautiful things, it can provide false security, keeping us from having undesirable things happen to, or maybe undesirable people into our lives. And I am well aware of this. As I move into my new apartment, I'm aware of my own sense of false security with that fresh coat of paint. I moved from a neighborhood that was close to a lot of police activity. And being further and further removed from that neighborhood, it's like setting up a false security blanket. But sometimes it isolates us from the people in need. Jesus asked the young man to break down those walls, to take away the security blanket, to give up his wealth by physically giving it to those who are in need. That's physically breaking down those barriers that kept his young man from the neighbors he may not wanted to help. Jesus talked about the Ten Commandments. He talked about the commandments in a way of looking up and praising God. Looking up and praising God. But I think Jesus was asking him to do more than just looking up and praising God, but to go outward. So to go up and outward. Praising God, loving God, and sending that love out. Living this way in an outward way is the only way we might be brought into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God confronts us with a vision in life that's really quite different than what we are in our own culture, what's taught in our culture. It tells us to connect to God and to transform our lives outward. I think if we were to look deeply in ourselves and be brutally honest with ourselves, that we, like the young man, lack one thing. Maybe it's not the same as the young man's. Maybe it's even more than one thing. Hebrews reading today says, "The word of God is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account." So, here we are in front of God. Who then can be saved? Well, in God, all things are possible. That needle and camel, no problem. And I hope that the young man heard that the most important part of what Jesus told them was, "Come and follow me." You see, Jesus is that eternal peace. In Jesus, we can find the kingdom of God, the kingdom that we are to live into and to live out. The second part of Hebrews says, "Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We're able to walk with that boldness because of Jesus. So to start living in the kingdom of God isn't about completing a checklist. donate to the needy. Check. It isn't about having false security or going on as business as usual. Life in the kingdom of God is a commandment, and it's a gift, a free gift. Through Jesus, God places it before us. It's a way of being that is life-changing and about transformation. If we drop what we have and turn our hearts and minds to God and follow Jesus everywhere and at all times, not just the things in our checklist, but truly putting God into the center of every aspect of our life. That means praising God at church, being transformed in Christian education, learning and knowing Jesus, be overflowing in that love to give to charity. God can do the work of building up the kingdom of God right here and now. It requires us to grab that gift, to open our hearts and minds to the possibility of it, and to live into it. We are the hands and hearts of the kingdom of God. Richard Fairchild said, "It is the easiest and the hardest gift we'll ever receive. It's the easiest because the gift is free. It's the hardest because our hands are so often filled with other things." I tell you today to keep holding out your hands, trusting in God to show you the love He has promised. Keep holding out your hands. So, what now? How can we be a part of the kingdom of God? Well, Jesus already said it. Come, follow me.